anytime I've used this, but I feel like every time I've ever used this, this is how this goes. Does that sound right to everybody? Every time I try to use it, I said me, every time I try to use it, the prince of the power of the air gets in the airways, messes us up. May just get told about it. Eli, praise God. All right, well, listen, while she's doing that, we'll just deal with a little bit of missions here for just a minute, and that'll at least give us a place in this. There's a lot of folks, amen, that'll work, thanks, brother. There's a lot of folks that I found, particularly whenever we first came into Jamestown, that had a negative, I don't know necessarily what had happened, but there's a lot of negative ideas toward missions and missionaries in general. And we understand that not every missionary is a God-called missionary. Everybody understands that. Some folks, and the term, and I hate to use derogatory terms, but the term that you've all heard it said is moochinaries. And there are plenty of them. But now listen, just because there's a bunch of folks that are bad in one area, you can't judge all the missionaries based on that. The Bible's very clear about a New Testament Bible-believing church that we must have a ministry in four areas according to the gospel. He told them to start in Jerusalem, to leave out of Jerusalem to go into Judea, to leave out of Judea and to go into Samaria, and to leave Samaria and to go in the uttermost parts of the world. And you'll hear folks and they'll say it like this, well, why should I help folks there when there are folks right here that are doing without? Well, here's the Bible answer, because God said to. Amen. That's the Bible answer, because God said to. Now, I understand we ought not be helping folks there and not be helping folks here. And anytime I think that God told them the exact way it's supposed to start, it ought to start inside the gates of Jerusalem. That begins, everything we do starts within the walls of this church. If there's a need somewhere else and there's a need in this church, the need in this church supersedes the needs anywhere else. We take care of this place and then we work out and we go into Jerusalem and then we work out from there and we go into Judea and as we continue forth. And I've said before and I do believe that the Lord's going to honor. I hope before the Lord comes that God will help this church to have a missionary in all 195 countries in this world. I think it'd be a tremendous blessing where we stand at to say at 1564 or 74 or 1600 or whatever our address is in this location to have the gospel to get out in every single country in the world. And I'll say this to you, friend. There's a lot of times we go through times and we're wondering about folks being saved or folks being serious or whatever. But you've heard me say time and time again, I mean, they may not be getting saved every Sunday here, but they are getting saved somewhere every Sunday in a work that we're doing. I think you ought to be mindful of that just because it's... Now, here's where we come into play. That work there can't continue if this church here doesn't continue to do what God wants it to be. If this isn't a strong church, we can't support the mission work over there. So the Bible's very clear whenever he goes out and he begins to tell them to go. And you remember the story in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. I'll just run through this real quick for everybody. Maybe you don't know, understand. The Lord is very systematic in His pattern. And He is accomplishing everything that He said He would. And in Acts chapter number 2, we find what we would determine as the grace dispensation. Now, the grace age did not necessarily start for the church in Acts chapter number 2. The church started in Acts chapter number 2, but it wasn't you and I included in it just yet. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, wasn't Gentiles hanging around. It was a bunch of Jews. The Bible said they was Jews from every nation that was gathered in that place. Disciples was in the upper room. You remember the story. Disciples in an upper room. They come down. God had told them to wait till they be endued with power from on high. And you know exactly what happens. They was endued with power from on high. And as they get endued with power from on high, the Apostle Peter stands up, and I want to go on record again as saying thank God that God used somebody broken to get the greatest message out across the world. If He used John, me and you might not feel like He could ever use us. Now, I know everybody in this room, you're doing pretty good in life and you've always been real spiritual, but for the rest of everybody else that's in here, it sure is a blessing to know in Acts chapter 2 that God used the most broken disciple to get across the best message that He's ever told. Amen? In Acts 2, you find that all of a sudden they get saved, and before Acts 2 is over, there's 3,000 added to the church. Now, those in Acts 2, they begin to head out. You remember, and they start heading out, then the Bible says, daily such as should be saved, we find 5,000, then gets added to the church, and the gospel starts to go unto the Gentiles. Now, the Lord does something really particular that everybody ought to be mindful of as He takes the gospel and as he heads in that direction. First thing He does in Acts chapter number 2 is He brings the Bible and He brings the gospel to the Jews, and certainly that's what the Apostle Peter does. We find all the story about everybody getting right with God and all that sort of thing. And then if you look over in Acts chapter number 8, you find what happens here is God starts, and in three chapters, He gets the whole gospel to the whole world. Acts chapter number 7, everybody's sort of hanging out. Nobody's wanting to go nowhere. Nobody's wanting to do nothing. You know what that's called, Samuel? That's called an independent Baptist church. Amen. Nobody's wanting to go nowhere. Nobody's wanting to do nothing. Everybody's happy where they're at. Everybody's comfortable where they are. And they say, boy, this is good. We like having the power of the Holy Ghost. We like preaching to the people we know. God said, no, you remember I told you back there, you need to leave and go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And so what God does in Acts chapter number 8 is He begins to do just that. You find in verse number 4, and I'll just say this, after the Lord uses His chosen vessel Saul, verses 1 through 3, verse number 4, it says, therefore, that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You remember what the Bible said in Mark 16. You ought to go everywhere, and right here, they didn't want to go anywhere, so God sent Saul to come down and bring persecution. You know what happened? They decided they better go everywhere. Amen. So they take off and they go everywhere. Now pay attention to your Bible. I know this will be repeat for some folks, but this will be new for others. What the Lord does in Acts chapter number 8, Acts chapter number 9, and Acts chapter number 10 is very, very special. Whenever they get off the ark in Genesis chapter 6, you remember the whole story, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, He finds grace in the eyes of God. They all get on the ark. We find that Noah, his family, Shem, him, and Japheth, and their three wives get on the ark. Then whenever they get off the ark, 150 days later, they get off the ark, they go out, and God begins to divide them abroad. And essentially what you have is you've got three groups of people, and they spread out, and they go over the whole world. Shem, him, and Japheth. Shem is where you'd hear the terminology in our day, particular, anti-Semites or Semitic. Shem becomes the father of all the Semites. That's the Jews. Then you find that Japheth, he takes off and he, essentially for all the Asians and for us Europeans, he becomes the white man. And then we find that Ham gets a curse pronounced on him, and we find that Ham takes off and he goes down and he descends into the regions of Africa. So you essentially only have really three bodies of people across the whole world. This is the answer to why when somebody asks you the question, well, what about the heathens in Africa, or what about those somewhere else? Well, when they got off the ark, they all three had the same knowledge. Everybody did. Shem, Ham, and Japheth had all seen the grace of God. They had all experienced the salvation of God. And when they got off the ark, they all had it all together. Now listen, at that point in time, they became personally responsible for passing that message on from generation to generation. Now they didn't have ball, but they probably had spear throwing contests and things like that, you know, that would get in their way of worshiping God. And before very long, what you would find is those same people, instead of passing on the goodness of God and worshiping the Lord, they wasn't interested in that no more. You know what happens whenever you stop passing on? I want everybody to listen real carefully right here. What everybody in this room, you've got something on the inside of you that wants to worship something. Now, I don't know what it is. It might be you feel that with a video game. You might feel that with a car. You might feel it with a job. You might feel it with something. But everybody has the innate ability on the inside of them. God made you with a God-shaped hole that you ought to go out and try to fill. Now, there's only one person that'll fill it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Only people you'll find got any joy is people that got the right peace in the right place. And that's those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else is simply a temporary joy. And so when they get off the boat, they've all got the same knowledge. They're all doing the same things, all going the same way. Now what we find is this, is that not long after that, God chooses in Genesis chapter number 12, reaffirms it in 15, does it again in chapter 22, but he calls Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. That's the Semites, and he gives them a covenant. He gives them a relationship that's particular to everybody else that's ever had. So when they get off the boat, everybody's got the same knowledge. Now, throughout the generations, everybody starts to drop that knowledge. And what you find here is that God corrects that beginning in Acts chapter number 8. First person he goes to, watch in verse 4. Genesis, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Now, you remember what he said to do after he went to Samaria. He said to go to the uttermost parts of the world. So the Bible said in verse 6, and the people of one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Skip down with me in verse 26. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. He went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. If you write in your Bible, right there's Ham. That is the people of Ham. What I'm simply saying is this. You know what God just done with Philip? He got the gospel into the Hamites. He got the gospel and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into all the Hamites. It become his responsibility to get it to everybody else. You know what the Lord done with it? He put it in probably the only hand of the man who could get it to everybody else. Watch what your Bible says. It's interesting. He said, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, verse 27, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So you understand what God does. He doesn't just give the gospel to some random person. He puts the gospel inside the hand of the person who's the right-hand person of the queen so that he can tell her about the gospel so she can share the good news of Christ with everybody. Now, you understand, we're talking about Ethiopia in the Bible. You ain't talking about the same Ethiopia. You're talking about Ethiopia in the Bible is pretty well 2/3 of all of Africa during this time. This is the biggest nation. This is the greatest amount of people, and God makes sure they get the gospel. That's pretty something. Now, it'd be something if God done it again in Acts chapter 9. Wouldn't you guess that'd be right? Acts chapter number 9, God does the same thing, and he does it all over again. Now, watch in Acts chapter number 9. You've got a fellow who the Bible says excelled above all of his equals, had more zealousness than any other Jew. That's his own testimony of the apostle of Saul at the time. Acts chapter 9, Saul yet breathing threatening slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem.
And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So what we find that the Lord does is first he gets the gospel to the one man who can get to all the Hamites. Then secondly, we find he brings the gospel to the Shemites. He done so in Acts chapter number 2 to start with, and then he gets it up to the fellow who can do the most with the gospel in Acts chapter number 9. He gets it to Saul. Now, don't miss what the Lord does here. The Lord essentially divides up the whole world into three groups of believers, and whenever they get here in Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 8, and Acts chapter number 9, you know what he's done? He has effectively got the gospel in the only people's hands who can get it to all of those groups of people. That's pretty something. You guess that's something? I mean, that's systematic, ain't it, Connor? That's a mathematical God. That's a God who said, let me do it like this. I don't want nobody to die and say I never had opportunity, so I want everybody to have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says that he can light every man that cometh into the world. And so he does the same thing in Acts chapter number 9. And then we find this, Acts chapter number 10, one of my favorite stories. Acts chapter number 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, and a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. Now listen. The reason I like this text so well is because of this verse right here. The Bible says he prayed to God always. You see that? That's what it said. Now, he didn't even know who God was. Didn't understand him. But he was trying to. Y'all get that? He didn't understand the God of the Bible, but he was trying to. So he done what the Jews were doing. In Acts chapter number 10, now watch this in verse number 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayer and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. You just mark that down in your Bible if you want to right there. And what you find is this. He prayed in Acts chapter 2, or Acts 10 verse 2, and the Bible says his prayer was heard in verse 4. Now, I've heard this my whole life, and so have you, that the only prayer God will ever hear from a sinner is a prayer of repentance. This text right here says that's not so. That's what the Bible says. Y'all with me on that one? What you find in this text right here is he didn't know what he was praying to exactly, didn't know who he was praying to exactly. He was praying out of a sincere heart, and the Bible said God heard his prayer. That's a blessing. Don't you think that's a blessing? Now listen, I talked with a fellow not too long ago. We were sitting in the drugstore and he came up. He said, Brother Kevin, he said, I don't know if the Lord hears my prayers. And I said, well, he might shut them out, but he sure hears them. There's a difference. The Lord, y'all understand the Lord hears everything. Is that right or not right? We say, man, God knows our thoughts afar off. He knows our down sittings. He knows our uprising. He knows the thoughts we think. So you mean tell me he don't understand? The Bible says we'll stand accountable for every idle word that we've ever spoke. But you want to tell me God didn't hear it? No, God hears everything. Now, there are some prayers that God shuts out. You can get in a place of sin that it hinders your prayer between you and God, be out of fellowship with God, and no longer have that place where God is listening in the manner that you'd like for him to listen. But as far as hearing, God hears everything. He has to. He's God. Hears everything, knows everything. There's some things God, listen, I feel like y'all, I want to say this. There's some things you understand that God has the ability to shut out, and you better thank God for it. Right? Is that right or not right? He is all-knowing. Would everybody in here agree with me that? There has never been anything in this whole world that's ever happened that God didn't know about it before he ever formed the world. Right? Now, despite that fact, what we find is this. Aren't you glad that even though God knows all your sins, the Bible says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more? Did God get amnesia and forget? No, God chose in and of himself to shut those things out, erase them by the blood of Christ as if they have never been. That's what I'm about to get happy on that one. That one made me happy. You get in the house of God and we're sitting around. So God hears everything. God knows everything. God sees everything. All of it. There are some things He chooses not to look at. Some things He chooses not to hear. Some things He chooses not to remember. And He can do that because He's God. Amen. Praise. Hey, listen, you ought to thank God that I know Baptists will bring up to you your sins every day. Right? They will. I'm sidetracking real hard here, but I'll get right back to where I'll get right back on Cornelius and correcting some Bible doctrine. But where we're standing at right now, God's people won't never let you forget sometimes what you messed up. Now, look here, I preach in Jamestown, Tennessee most of the time. But when I go back to Scott County, there's always those few Baptists, and you know, they see my boys, they say, wait till we tell you some stories on your dad. Well, here's the blessing. God doesn't know those stories. Done. Done. Those stories are over. Done away with. Under the blood of Christ. And I'm glad everything I put under His blood, I've never put anything under that's resurrected back from it. You put it under the blood of Christ, it stays under the blood of Christ. It don't have enough power to get up and come out of the blood of Christ. And so we stand in the house of God, and a lot of times these folks, and they'll always try to bring up something. And one of my favorite texts in all of the Scripture always revolves around Rahab the harlot, even the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11, Rahab the harlot. But in Matthew chapter 2, just Rahab. God says, no, when I'm going to talk about you, no more harlot. All that stuff's been put away. Listen, look at me, friend. They could put some title after every name in this church that's probably, even the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. Everybody in this church could have some title that come after your name that would probably put you in some shape or sin. But here's the good news. When we come with a repentant heart toward Christ and we put that thing under the blood of Christ, no matter what everybody else remembers, there's a God in heaven that says, I will remember that no more. And when I come to the house of God, it doesn't make much difference to me what you feel about what I've done in the past. I assure you, as I've walked into this place, that if there's anybody that knows me, I know me. And if there's anybody that tried to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for that, and I wish you'd help me put that under the blood, it was me that done that. And it doesn't matter if I'm in fellowship really with you or if you want to hold it over my head. When I walked in the house of God this morning, I'm in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because His blood has covered my sin. Amen. That's what we find happens in the Bible. No centurion, no Cornelius gets up there. So all them Baptists, you know, they'd have said, God never even heard you pray, Cornelius. But guess what? God didn't ask them what they thought. God didn't ask them how they felt about Cornelius' prayer. God in heaven said, He heard his prayer. Thine alms have came up before me, and I've heard it. You know what God done for him? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Cornelius. I'm going to send you the most on fire preacher I got. Try to get you the gospel where you're at. Hey, man, listen, friend, I'm going to have to look here, friend. I'm trying to stay calm, but it's getting real hard to do so. What we find in this passage is God gets that gospel down to him. And I like where it says it. Notice verse 34, if you want to be there with me. This is the second time Peter opened his mouth. And every time Peter opens his mouth after he gets saved, something real good's about to happen. Neither here nor there. That's a whole nother message. He said, and of a truth I perceive God is no respecter of persons. Amen. I can feel them. I just don't know. Praise God. You ought to put an exclamation point by that. Say, thank God. God is no respecter of persons. I'm saying this. When it comes to the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, everybody in here is equal opportunity. You got as much access and as much right to be saved because of the grace of God as anybody. Watch what he says. I'm gonna say this. We'll say, he says, but every nation, he that feareth him worketh righteousness accepted in him. Verse number 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, saying he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, and the baptism which John preached. Now, did you watch what he just said? He's saying, we're getting the gospel out. And right now it started in right there in Galilee, went through Judea. We found it's already went into Samaria. And now here he is right here, and he's getting it to this old centurion by the name of Cornelius. Watch what he goes on to say. Verse 37, that word I say you, which was published throughout all Judea, began Galilee, baptism John preached. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews, Jerusalem, and they slew and they hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses which chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink. Now as he begins to preach this word, verse 43, to give him all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Mark that down. Thank God that's still true today. Amen. Amen. Remission. You ask me why I'm happy. Ain't that, I like singing that song from time to time. You know, you ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from light. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. Watch what he says here as they do all this. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, I want to point out something here. I don't want to mess nobody up, but I want you to listen, all right? You know what happened right here? Notice between verse 43 and 44, there's no just as I am. No invitation. There's nobody. Now listen, I love all that in its rightful place. But some churches have turned the invitation there into an idol, into an emotional experience that have hijacked many folks into hell. They go on their baptism and they come up and they say, well, I had a time when I bowed my head and I cried on the altar, and they was responding to emotion. Somebody got up there and they got to talking about, if you want to see your mama and your daddy again, look here, you don't go to heaven because you want to see your mom and daddy again. Everybody understands that. I mean, you don't go, listen, I've been in 10,000 funerals where they stood up and said, now, if y'all ever want to see them again, well, thank God, what about Jesus? That's nowhere in the gospel. Nowhere in the gospel do I want to go see my son or daughter. Do I want to go see my mom or my daddy? Do I want to go see my third cousin? That's got nothing to do with the gospel, neighbor. We go to heaven because we want to see Jesus. Amen. That right? Now, watch this. Now, don't miss this. They preached. And when they preached, the Holy Ghost fell. You know what that tells me about them? The Bible says, if he, Romans chapter number 8, he that hath not the Spirit of God is, there's a few folks, I just want to see how many folks would help me on it. He that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. Is that right? If you got born again, the Bible teaches us, when you got born again, you got sealed in earnest, Ephesians chapter number. You got filled in earnest and sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now these men hear the preaching, and when they hear the preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on them. You know what that tells me about what they thought when they heard the preaching? Y'all understand this? Whenever they preached, Brother Matt, as soon as they heard the preaching, they made a decision right here in what they believed. And you know what happens whenever somebody preaches here? Now the altar call, I think it's good to have a time to respond to God. But the truth of the matter is, you've already responded to God before the invitation ever came. The word of God's already went out. You received it in your ears. It came down into your heart. And you've done one of several things. You either said, that's me, God help me. I mean, how many pray? Now listen, let's be honest with each other. It'll help all of us. We sitting in the house of God, somebody gets to preaching real rough. You know what we say in our heart? We say, oh God, that's me. And I don't say it. I may say amen with my lips, but in my heart I'm saying, God, forgive me. Right? And then sometimes I've been in the house of God, and it's usually not the preacher. It has been a time or two. There's one preacher back in Scott County. If he ever sees me in the house of God, I promise you, he's going to say something about how the white horse is not real. every time. It's going to happen. That's targeting. And I'm okay with it. He can be wrong if he wants to be. Amen. I'll promise you this. When he gets on a white horse and he rides back with Christ, he'll look over somewhere in that whole thing. And he'll be like, that was right. Amen. He'll be happy about it, and I'll be happy about it too. But by and large, when we sit in church, preachers are not aiming anything. Not in this church. But I'll tell you what we'll think when they'll say it. They'll say something, and it'll go in our ears, and it'll go in our heart, and in our mind we'll say, he only said that because of what I've done. That's exactly right. I got a guilty conscience. And listen, I'm gonna go on record as saying this. Even if they did say it because of what you've done, if it's still right, it's still right. Ain't that right? You say, well, I told him today. I fessed up about what I was watching, and he got up and he preached on it anyway. Well, listen, if it's still right, it's still right. Even if it was aimed at you, you ought to take it, thank God. And I ought to, too. These preachers get up and they say things, and I think, Lord, I wish they hadn't have said that. I was living pretty good right where I was at till they said that. And now my heart's hurting. They probably aimed that at me because of something I said. Then you don't take it. So sometimes we take the Word of God. Sometimes we don't take the Word of God. Sometimes we stiffen up under the Word of God. We say, we know that's right, but I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. Is that right or not right? Y'all think that's... We was having a good time a second ago. Let's not, I'm not trying to ruin it. But listen, when Cornelius' band was there and they heard the gospel come down and deal in hearts, they had one of several choices. But if they hardened their heart to the gospel, as far as that's concerned, that's done. God had given them opportunity to hear the Word of God. And we sit in the house of God sometimes and we hear the gospel, we hear God's message, and we stiffen up. And I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. It got in my heart last night. I want everybody to be on record as this. Whenever we start thinking about these things, one thing that we find is this, is there's people and they say, I'm going to keep on doing what I've always done, and that's between you and God, but you need to know I'm going to keep preaching against what I've always preached against. Amen. We're just going to keep on continuing. Keep doing what we've always... They say, well, I'm going to keep doing it. Well, that's fine. I'm going to keep preaching against it. You can leave church mad every service if that's what you want to do. You think that's right? Watch what old Cornelius does. He gets down to this place. And whenever Cornelius gets down there, the Bible says, verse 44, I'll sum this up in just a minute and then we'll move on. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed him to tarry certain days. And so what you find is this. All the way throughout these scriptures, something keeps happening. We find that the Hemites got it. We find that the Shemites got it. We found that the Japhethites got it. And all these people have now officially received the word of an almighty God. They've everyone got it. God started at the beginning, and he made sure that the whole world had the whole word. Now, it's not God's fault that we have dropped the ball in what we've done with the Word of God. I want everybody to listen real carefully. We didn't change the whole. Look, God changed whatever he wants to. But I want you to listen to me. If you don't take some personal responsibility, one, to become accountable to the book yourself, and two, to pass on the message to the next generation, it won't be too long till our nation's a heathen nation. And whether you know it or not, we just almost are a heathen nation. Amen. We got an entire group of believers that are growing up thinking that transgenderism is okay. Amen. You know why? Because they're teaching them more of that than they are what the Bible says. Now y'all say, we're in Jamestown, Tennessee. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. I think the first time they voted for liquor by the drink in Scott County, Tennessee, I was 22 years old, best I remember. Somewhere in my early 20s. And when they voted for liquor by the drink, you had to sign a referendum. And whoever's name was on the referendum, it was a public list. And all the pastors got the public list. And they sent it out to all the pastors so that they get up and say something to the members in their church that voted for it. That's number one. And I'm for that, just so everybody knows. Amen. Amen. That sounds like Numbers 32:23 to me when it says, be sure Your sin will find you out. That's what that says. All right. Now listen, that thing voted down so miserably. I think there's like 26 people in the whole of Scott County voted for liquor by the drink. 26 people. At the last presidential per capita, Scott County was the reddest place in it, voted it down unanimously. You know what just happened this last election? Liquor by the drink. And it wasn't close. You know what happened? In one generation, somebody stopped doing something with this. And they started passing on the rest of it. And I'm saying this to you, friend. Look here. You say, we're all right in Jamestown, Tennessee. You mark down what I'm saying. Folks keep coming in that don't get right by the book. The devil's not, he's not in the persecuting business as far as in America. He's not standing out there. We're not, nobody had to be beaten to come to church this morning. I'll tell you what he does to the Church of America. He infiltrates it. And he changes ideals. And as he begins to slowly change ideas and social norms and all of that, he essentially corrupts the church from within. So that whenever, listen, I'm gonna quit before I kill the whole thing. But I want to say this to you. 20 years ago, you stand in any Baptist church you wanted to and say, we believe the King James Bible is the only Bible. And they'd shout you down. We'd say, we're against folks living together, and they'd shout you down. We're against homosexuals, and they would shout you down. Yep. Right? We're against liquor, they'd shout you down. Now you preach against any of those things. King James Bible, these folks that they don't even know if that's even important anymore. These folks that they try to come in the midst, they try to just keep living in sin and keep on trying to, look here, it'll never work, friend. It'll never work where we're standing at. Now God's got the gospel to us. Now listen, I'm going to ask you this. Cut on them lights back there, Gavin. Let me look everybody in the whites of their eyes while we say. So God's gotten the gospel. Listen, for those of you who came in late, we didn't turn into a liberal church who dimmed our lights. Now I want to go on record and make sure everybody that's here knows there ain't a chance in this world I'd ever do that. We was trying to watch something and it didn't work. I want y'all to listen to me. Cornelius became responsible for them. The eunuch became responsible for them. Peter became responsible for them. Now I'm going to ask you this question just simply. Who are you responsible for? Ask the same question Dave asked Acham. Look around you, and if the people around you look like you, you're responsible for them. Now we can throw up our hands and say, well, I've done the best I could. Now look here. Now God knows whether that's true or not. God knows whether that's true. If we don't do something, we're in trouble. Now listen, if we don't do something, we're in trouble. Y'all think that's right? All right, that's how, listen, we didn't get to do the presentation, but you got a presentation on why missions is important. And for those, listen, I'm going to stop, promise you, I'm done. Done. I'm going to say this, for I am. For those people who still hate missions, I hope, look here, I hope that they don't, I mean, as far as their salvation is concerned, I hope when they get to heaven, the first thing they got to do is go up to every missionary that made sure they got the gospel in America and have to thank them personally for getting them the gospel. The only reason you're saved is because somebody was a missionary. Amen. Amen, preacher. Somebody hadn't got the gospel to us, we'd have been in trouble. All right, well, we'll try it again some other day, maybe. Maybe we won't. Maybe y'all don't even need to see it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll go from there. We'll have prayer room back in the back, those who want to and can. We'll dismiss for just a minute, and we'll start back at 11 o'clock. What time is it? We'll say it's 15 till. I'm going to guess that. Somebody help me.